This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Lynn Mark and Lim Su Ann. Now, before the break, we were talking about how Neanderthals could have practiced flower burials about 70,000 years ago, and that suggests that they felt a sense of loss and mourning, which is in contrast to the common idea that Neanderthals were intelligent and unintelligent and primitive. Now, before we get into our second story of the day, however, we do have a Twitter poll going.
That's right, and we're asking you, is it important for more women to be in leading roles for more movies? So right now, about 63% of you say yes, it is, but another 37% of you say no. Well, you can tell us why you think so. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. So now, there have always been strong and memorable female characters in movies, you know, the likes of Ellen Ripley and Sarah Connor from the Aliens and Terminator franchises, respectively. And these two women have remained as icons even today. And other characters like Rose from the 1997 movie Titanic also come to mind. We can even look back to the 1930s to Vivien Leigh's character Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind.
But apart from this small sprinkling of women leads, the industry has been mostly dominated by men. Now, most of the big-name central characters that we're familiar with from family films and blockbusters are men. Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter, James Bond, Jason Bourne, and so forth. Even when we look at animated films, the likes of Hercules, Tarzan, Woody, and Buzz Lightyear, I mean, the list goes on.
I mean, that said, we're really starting to see a change for the better. So there's been a massive push for diversity in films. I think especially in recent years, we're seeing that a lot people are starting to realise the importance of representation and what representation actually means. So if you look in 2017, Wonder Woman broke new ground for being the first ever comic book movie, and in this age of comic book movies that we find ourselves in, with a woman lead. So the film was also directed by a woman, Patty Jenkins, and grossed over $800 million at the global box office. And then we have the entire Star Wars sequel trilogy, which also centres around a female character, Rey. And of course, how can we forget Frozen's Elsa and Anna, who are global phenomenons?
Yes, the world just can't let them go. Now, the numbers also tell a similar story. A recent study done by the Gina Davis Institute on Gender in Media shows that for the first time in history, lead female characters have reached parity in the top 100 grossing family films. Now, family films here mean films that are rated G, PG and PG-13. The percentage of female leads in these family films has doubled from 24% in 2007 to 48% in 2019.
And it's not just for lead characters. So in general, the percentage of female characters speaking time in family films have increased significantly as well. So we've seen this gone from 31.3% in 2014 to slightly below 40% in 2019. And the percentage of female character screen time has also seen an increase from 34.9% in 2014 to 42.6% in 2019. And that's about an 8% jump.
But of course, this doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory. While we celebrate the strides that we've taken in recent years, a deeper look at the numbers shows us that there is still plenty of room for improvement. For example, male supporting characters still outnumber female supporting characters 2-to-1, and female characters are 6 times more likely than male characters to be shown in revealing clothes.
So why exactly is this so? Well, to help us make sense of the numbers, as well as to provide a perspective on the local film industry here in Malaysia, we have with us on the line Malaysian filmmaker Nadia Hamza. So Nadia, let's start with, why is diversity and representation important in film?
Diversity and representation is very much crucial in film or anything that you see on media, like content, TV maybe, because it really influences the kind of society we live in, and it also reflects the values that we uphold. So, you know, if everything that is fed is a certain kind of narrative, then like I feel that, I know this sounds really far-fetched and I don't sound like a politician, but it kind of doesn't make a nation or a society. We won't be able to progress. We will still forever be stuck in this, I don't even know how to say it, like a time capsule, you know, like we'll all be thinking this the same way. So like that's why it's really, really important. And for the people, if they don't see themselves portrayed in film, then like they'll kind of feel like, you know, they don't belong, and whatever they're fed with, and they will see that as like a benchmark, or like, okay, this is like the ideal and a society or the ideal nation, and then continue to strive for that even when they can't. You know, like for instance, if a darker skinned person like keeps on seeing all these fair skinned people in film and TV, you know, they'll try to do something to get there. And and I feel that we need to change that narrative. That's why it's really, really important. Diversity and representation is super crucial.
So the percentage of female leads in family films has also doubled from 24% in 2007 to 48% in 2019. And the percentage of speaking time has risen from 31.3% in 2014 to just under 40% in 2019. So, Nadia, what do these numbers tell you about the current landscape of cinema?
I think it's a massive improvement. And I feel that there's a progression in actually pushing out, you know, strong female characters. However, I feel it's centralized in the West, especially just in Hollywood. And I really, really hope this trend can continue worldwide. So, you know, we can emulate this back home in Malaysia. So, you know, like we're always looking to the West anyway. So I really, really hope this trend can continue worldwide.
And yet the study also shows that female characters are 6 times more likely than male characters to be shown in revealing clothing. So why do you think this this is so?
Just like you mentioned, the film industry is pretty much male-dominated. So a big, big number of films are still made by men for men. Therefore, this will continue. However, in Hollywood or in the West, a lot more women are speaking up ever since the Me Too movement. And you see a lot more actresses are getting more vocal about the kind of characters that they want to play. So, you know, when there's like a demand, then there will be better roles for females. But until we are able to come up with better films, I think men will continue to want to objectify women in their film. And it's been the norm. And to change this, it will take time. So as much as you say that there's more like female-led characters in films, we need to, you know, there needs to be time so that, you know, women will not be seen as sexual objects. It takes time. And I'm not about to say that we can totally discriminate men, because, you know, it happens to men. Men are seen in you know, from a certain gaze, they're also seen as sexual objects. But maybe it's not as apparent or obvious as women. But, you know, but if it's the norm, then, like, it'll take time to break that norm. So, you know, I just hope it will be better in the future with more people speaking up and demanding for better content.
Now, the rise in female leads, though, has unfortunately seen pushback from certain pockets of the internet. It's not uncommon to scroll through fan groups and comment sections of movie sites to see people saying, you know, enough with this SJW nonsense. What do you have to say to these types of reactions?
I would say that you can't stop people from wanting to say what they want, and you really cannot control however people are going to view your films or whatever they're going to say, especially on the internet where there's no filter. They're able to just say whatever that comes to mind. But also, we really have to look at these films that are coming out with the strong female leads. Sometimes they're just blatant substitution of male characters. You know, it's so like, oh, this is a female-led film. There's a strong female character. And people are not going to be receptive towards that. They have, you know, like, I think just our human nature, we need time to adapt to change. And there needs to be a bit more finesse in filmmaking and the sophistication in the storytelling so that, you know, it's kind of like a subliminal change or message that we're trying to see. So I know first, yes, it needs to increase in numbers in terms of like female-led films made by female filmmakers, but also the way that the stories are told also needs to be in the right approach. So people are like, okay, this is a really silly analogy, but like, what if like you don't like pineapple pizza, but when it was first created, people are like, that's super disgusting, but now, you know, you kind of warm up to it. So I guess it kind of like, you know, it's almost the same thing. It reflects also in film, you know. It needs to be a bit more subliminal. And I hate that we cannot hit the ground running. that you need to be in like a softer approach. But if that's the way to change the mindset, then that's the way to go.
So then, Nadia, from your observations, how does female representation on screen play out with local cinema?
You know what? Like 20 years ago, when Datin Paduka Shuhaimi Baba came up with Sulu Bong, Laya Lara, and then Irma Fatima was still making amazing, amazing films, I feel like there were a lot more films fronted by female characters who could be seen as role models. But now it seems that, like, I think studios have kind of regressed and just, like, want to cater to the market. They want to make more money. And even though I think some people will try to justify it, but this film, it has, like, a strong female character, you know. She's, like, the cheerleader, and she's strong, and she looks for, you know, she looks up for her family. But nobody's going to give a freaking damn about, like, a character that has, like, 30% of screen time as opposed to the male character. So, I mean, I do agree that it is very much male-dominated. Is it unfair? Yes, but how do we change it?
So what are some changes or improvements that you'd like to see in the coming years? You know, whether it's in Hollywood, locally, or in world cinema in general?
I see the landscape of cinema shifting a little bit. Like, I think a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, there was this film called Mama, which was released locally, and it was directed by a female director, Ira Rahman, and it grossed like 3 million. And there's so many other great female directors out there, you know. Fizi, who did Song Lab, she's going to come out with a new film soon, I hope. And hopefully when there are more females in the directing seat, especially here in Malaysia, we will see Malaysian films follow this Hollywood trend of having more and more females in the leading roles. So there needs, you know, but however, like I said, like, I think studio execs, they need to have like a social, they need to feel a slight social responsibility to change this narrative, even if it's through enforcement, you know. So like I said, if you're going to make 5 films about males, with leading male roles, then you need to make 5 films with leading female characters. And if you're going to give opportunities for 5 male directors, you need to give the same equal number of opportunities to female directors, because, you know, like a film would be different if it's directed by a male or a female, because the gaze is different, right? In Malaysia, if there is no conscious effort, it will not change. So I'm really hoping in the next 5 years, you know, there will be more opportunities for women especially, and this has to be enforced.
Okay, so thanks for speaking with us, Nadia. That was local filmmaker Nadia Hamza. So we are talking about women in movies, right? So we did have a poll going on Twitter. We were asking you, is it important for more women to be in leading roles in movies? So right now, about 63.5% of you say yes, it is, but there's also a 36.5% of you who say no. Now, we've received a couple of comments on Twitter as well. We have Roshan saying representation isn't the be-all and end-all, but it is important, because movies and TV shape culture and unconscious mindset. So having more women leading roles helps us break that. And he gives the example of how Captain Marvel as the lead hero disrupts the idea of the lead hero being a male by default.
Absolutely. So I'm obviously of the opinion that representation is extremely important for all of the same reasons, really, because it is also important to see people who look like you in doing things that you can only aspire to, because it gives you something to aspire to. Mm-hmm. And we did also have other comments on Twitter from my Siri. Who said it's too predictable. Some were in the movies as dress up, like the Transformers franchise, for example. The ladies are dress up for the movies. Passengers with little to no value add and badly portrayed as helpless dames. Now, I think this is also an important point to make, because representation doesn't always just mean shoehorning someone, you know, who fits the token demographic into the movie. It means giving them a meaty role that with depth and character that they can dissect. Because, you know, you can equate it to in the olden days of Hollywood, they used to put in the token Chinese character, who was usually some kind of fruit seller with a bad Chinese accent, portrayed by by a white man.
Mm. And that character will have all your typical stereotypes as well, right? And you see that with women as well. You have women in movies, and even if they are in lead roles, you see them in your typical stereotypes, you know, the woman who needs to be rescued by the man. And I guess we're seeing a lot. We're still seeing some of it these days, but we are also seeing more of movies where, you know, where the woman is the lead character in her own right.
Yes, and so we have also had this WhatsApp in from Kenny, who says that objectification comes from the making of movies for the male audience. And with the amazing commercial success of movies like Frozen, Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman, studios could be likely to put more money into these areas. Movies are big business, and only the potential to make more money will change the way studios make movies. And I think, you know, it is important to acknowledge the reality of this, right? Because change is going to be driven by money. But it's good to have these movies like Wonder Woman out there, like Frozen, because it shows that these movies can make money. Mm. It's similar to Black Panther, right? Because when Black Panther first came out, there was a lot of skepticism, I think, over whether or not a movie with an entirely black or African American cast could actually make it in the box office. And Black Panther blew them out of the water, and it showed that there is an audience for this kind of film. There is an audience for this kind of representation.
Mm. And I guess now we're seeing with movies like this, you know, producers and directors are wanting to make sequels, and it goes to show that, and yet you still see pushback against these movies. Like Captain Marvel, I remember when that was, before the movie was released, there was quite a lot of backlash on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. Mm-hmm. I remember right. But in the end, the movie still did so well, and I think somehow, like, there's still people who sort of refuse to believe that these movies can do well. And despite that, we're seeing so many examples of movies actually making it big in the box office.
I do think we have to acknowledge there are some movies though, like Ocean's 8, for example, and Ghostbusters. Now, I don't, you know, I went into those movies, mm-hmm. I enjoyed them, but I'm not sure whether they feel like a good example of the kind of representation that we're really looking for, because mm-hmm. it can feel almost lazy, right? Mm. To take an existing franchise and to just flip it around. Yes, it shows that women can play these roles with as much depth as men, but you also need to emphasize, I think, just the creation that the creation of these new franchises for women is possible, and there will still be a market for it, even without relying on the fan bases of the previous franchise, the previous movies in the franchise, which were based on men.
Mm. And I think it, like you said, I watched those movies and I felt it was a bit unnecessary. Like, I don't think there's a point in remaking movies if what you're going to do is simply take the exact same storyline, the exact same characters, and simply sort of flip the male characters to be female characters. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to see new stories, fresh stories. Even if it is sort of a remake of the movie, you don't want to see an exact 100% copy of it. You want it to reflect changes that has happened today, or sort of to look at a different aspect of that character. We also have another tweet from Stephen Mark saying Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman is not the first female superhero film, and there was Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman before that. So I think earlier when we were talking about this, we were sort of referencing the comic book movies of mm-hmm. today, sort of this generation of remakes? No, that's not the right word.
I guess it's the rise of the popularity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yes,
the DC
right.
Cinematic Universe, right? Which started in 2008, I think it was, with the first Iron Man. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think sort of at the start of all these movies, you did see them sort of falling into that typical stereotyping of women, female characters in the mm-hmm. movies. You know, you have sort of them just there as supporting characters. You have them in revealing outfits. But then nowadays, we are slowly seeing the difference, though I think, you know, things need to speed up a bit more.
Absolutely. But it is also, you know, for one thing, I think the availability of the internet and the willingness of female fans as well mm-hmm. and other fans of from minority communities to stand up there and say that, hey, you know, why is this movie, you know, why is the main cast of this movie all white men? You know, where is the solo movie for Black Widow, for example? You know, where was the Black Panther movie before it came out? Where was the emphasis on Sam Wilson, you know, as the Falcon from the Marvel movies? So, you know, that in that sense, this has driven studios to change, I believe, and I think it still can drive studios to change. So we just need to keep speaking up about them and trying to make our voices heard. because if you sit down and keep quiet, then what you're doing is that you're implicitly agreeing to the status quo.
And I think for me personally, it's really touching when I go on social media after films like Black Panther was put out, after films like Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman were put out, and to see people tweeting that they felt so happy and they felt that they saw a reflection of themselves in this movie. And it's something that you don't realise wasn't there until it is there.
Absolutely. So, you know, if people aren't going to give women the spotlight, then we may as well sit up and take it. Because as Aretha Franklin said, sisters, we got to do it ourselves. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.